And then we move on to resolution 20-535, the San Juan Island EMS 2021 budget. This was presented last week at our November 12th budget hearing. There have been no changes since that time. Let's see. The final version is, you know, with all the notation, summary pages, charts, separated personnel and materials and supplies is all available on our hospital district website for anyone from the public who is interested. I will again entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution 2535, EMS budget.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Discussion? If there are no further comments, I will call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. It passes unanimously. And then same story, I think, resolution 20-536, San Juan EMS 2021 tax levy resolution. And this just states that we want the 1% due to increased property values. I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Oh, good, good. See someone else?
I'll make a motion to pass this resolution.
I'll second it.
Second.
Oh, there we go.
Gotta be quick.
It's whoever has a mute button under control.
So is there any discussion here or commentary? In that case, I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Thank you. Now we're on to the 2021 San Juan Island.
You're on the EMS tax levy certification.
On tax levy certification, yes. And so this is the end of our budget levy document. So we just need to hear a motion to for the 2021 San Juan Island EMS tax levy certification, please.
I'll make a motion.
So moved.
Thank you. I'll second it. Discussion?
What's the refund levy? There's something in that line this time. The refund levy is $687.17. What is that all about?
Oh, here with the levy certification.
The refund levy is sort of a weird thing. It's just set by the assessor's office. As I understand it, it's basically like a small amount of money that was overpaid and that we have to give back somehow, or that someone underpaid. It's like $600. Frankly, I don't understand it as well as I would like. Pam, do you have anything to add?
It's just money that comes back to the assessor's office for the particularly San Juan Island EMS for $687.17 that you have to say that you want the money if there's any refunds to someone, or we have to refund the money. But in this case, we are getting money from the refund. So we just state that, yes, we do want the refund amount if there is any.
It isn't always there. Like, our other levy didn't have any amount on there. And it's not totally apparent to me why that would be. It's almost like... but it's not a large amount of money.
It's that we get all of these figures from the tax assessor, Don Colseth. He sends out these detailed figures to each entity, each junior tax district. And so this is what they had listed for San Juan Island EMS for a refund levy, $687.17.
there isn't any further discussion, I will call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Thank you. And next we move on to resolution 20-537 of surplusing of the 1997 ambulance, as well as some small and attractive assets. So this surplus is one capital asset, our ambulance, and some small and attractive assets. They're labeled in the resolution which the levy belongs to. Anyone have anything to, Nathan, do you have anything to add on this, or Pam, about what specifically this is?
It's pretty straightforward. It's that fourth ambulance from 1997. It's 3 or 4 years past its lifetime. It saw 700 miles of circulation last year. So it's not heavily used. Moving towards, but it's expensive to maintain. So it was part of the capital improvement plan that you passed that we retire that ambulance, put it out of its misery, reduce our fleet by that amount. We might gift it to another public agency. There is you can't gift public funds or assets unless there's some compelling public interest that's served. We haven't worked out what, if anything, the board needs to do. If that's the case, we're thinking we're going to give it to like a Mexican EMS service that some of our employees have ties to that needs something like this. It's not an ambulance that an American service would want to run because of liability issues. But, you know, if like your choice is between a pickup truck and this, like obviously you'd be better served with this.
Awesome.
So we're hoping for it to have some remaining lifetime. So anyway, it's neither here nor there, but that's what's going on with the resolution.
Nice. Okay, so go for it, Trish.
I make a motion to pass resolution 20-537.
And I will second that motion.
Thank you. Any discussion?
I just think it's a great use of that ambulance. I hope that it finds its way south of the border where it can be put to good use for people in need.
Apparently we've given one of those ambulances to them before, and one of our medics who goes down there actually went on some calls or something and got to go on the same ambulance that he had used here.
That's awesome.
Years later. I don't know the whole story, but it's kind of neat, actually.
Yeah. Cool.
You can help that community. Cool. If there's no further discussion, I will call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Thank you. And now we move on to our superintendent's report. Thank you, everyone, for getting that business out of the way efficiently.
Yeah, when you get to the end of the year and you finally get to passing those budgets, it's always like a little anticlimactic. It's like just this list of resolutions that you pass rapid fire. But boy, that was a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And thank you both for your hard work on that. And it's nice to have that behind you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay. The reports for October for the public hospital district, yes, we did get our majority of our property tax in October is scheduled. So we have a cash balance now of $632,800, which brings it up quite nicely. We did have property tax revenues for October were just for the month of October were down 8%. $0.05 from this time last year due to the fact that the April property taxes, a lot of people paid theirs in full. So we knew that this section in October probably would be lower, which it was. But for the year, we're only down 2.08% from 2019, which is respectable considering the pandemic and everything that's going on. We had, for EMS, we continued to get property taxes in there. They were 7% down in October, but year to date only down 2.16%. So it's still respectable for this year. And the cash balance is $1,338,945. We still have our $300,000 reserves and investments of $346,000. So we're still showing strong in that area. Anybody have any questions on any of the financials that were sent out for October, either for the PhD or EMS? No? Okay. As far as operations, our GEMT money is coming in now slowly. We did not get any in September, but we are starting to show some in October and working with them on getting our application in for 2021. And so those amounts are coming in. Still don't know exactly how much it might be short. They've been behind on distributing the money. And then now with this latest COVID crisis, it might be delayed a little bit more towards the end of the year. We'll just have to wait and see on that. As far as the HRSA grants, the care coordination grant that was awarded, that's the three-year grant of approximately $250,000 a year. We've had meetings with the technical advisors for HRSA and getting set up with the quality advisors and getting all of that set. And I've been working with the HRSA in the payment management system for what our district has to do with distributing the money. So all of that has been being set these last couple of weeks. And so it should now, and we've hired the hub coordinator. So things should be taking off and having the meetings and the quarterly meetings. And definitely we'll get notified when those start, which should be soon. We've got all of the technical things have been pretty much lined up. That's for the care coordination grant. The planning grant that we just found out about is the close to $100,000 one-year grant. And Lopez Island is working really heavily with us on that grant. And we have not had our technical advisor meeting yet, but that should happen soon. And as soon as that happens, then we'll also start with more meetings for that and how that comes together. So, let's see. Did everyone have a chance to read all of the reports that were sent out? I know they were kind of a little bit late for you receiving them because we got them from the county and had to get ready a week earlier. So did you have any questions on anything that was reported in the operations? Just before I
appreciate getting this all done a week early, Pam. I know that makes a lot of extra, but maybe next week will be a little more mellow before the holiday for that reason. So thanks.
Yeah.
I have time to read through the reports and it's just interesting. We're still holding steady with this sort of like average of 10% decrease in calls for the year. So
mm-hmm. we had for EMS, there were 79 runs in October, and that makes 898 runs for January 1st through the current reporting period.
You just muted yourself, Pam.
I think I can't hear you all the time. Hello.
Yeah, she just muted herself.
Ow. I'm sorry, I wasn't touching anything.
That's so weird.
All right. So as Commissioner Lindstrom stated, we are about 10% down with 993 calls through October 31st. We're still averaging the same 2.8 average responders. There were 15 Island Air flights, 2 Air Lift Northwest, and no Navy or Coast Guard flights. Overall, our response time are still good. And we had 61 calls in town, which is 85%. We still see that. In town, average is being the most. We had 16 Mid-Island calls and 2 calls at the north end, and we didn't have any at the south end. We have been working on union negotiations with the IAFF Local 3219, several meetings this month, and they all went well, and that's proceeding. Almost finished. And COVID-19, we've been doing the same as far as restrictions and PPE. Now with the governor's response on Sunday, we are looking at our operations and making sure that we are meeting or exceeding the specifications and keeping our responders safe as well as the patients in the community. So that is taking front and center on what we're looking at EMS for right now. October shifts were pretty strong. We had the same volunteers. We continue to have the volunteers step up, and we have given out car seats still, and we are continuing to promote that in the community for those that need that, and they don't come into the station, but we can provide that to them outside for those that still need that kind of help. And that's the highlights of the report.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Pam? Okay. In that case, we were going to have a quick executive session under RCW 42.30.110 to evaluate the qualifications of an applicant for public employment and or to review the performance of a public employee. So based on that, it is 6:25 right now.
Is that the only one you're going to meet on? You don't want to do the other one?
Oh, I'm sorry. There are two. Do we, the Porsche and also RCW 42.30-144B, that portion of the meeting during which the governing body is planning or adopting a strategy or position to be taken by the governing body during the course of any collective bargaining.
I'm not really sure what you plan for the first exclusion, but with respect to the second exclusion, I expect we need 30 minutes.
30 minutes, okay. Should we say 15 for the first one, and then we'll just say 45 altogether?
15 minutes for the first one? Are you sure? That's pretty quick.
You think it's too quick for us?
Do I hear 30?
Yeah, I think it's an hour altogether.
An hour altogether, it is.
And what about, we have public comment down here as after. Do we want to offer that now before we go into executive session? Do we have to offer it after the executive session?
We could offer it now. I mean, we're not planning to take any action or make any statements after our executive session. So if people want to hang up.
I have comments about COVID that we heard today from Dr. James, and I think it's important to share in this meeting. The uptick in COVID. So I would like to make those comments. I don't know if you want to do it now or if you want to wait, but I think it's important for everyone to hear because it affects all of us and our community. So should we do it after? Yeah.
No. If there are no objections, we could move commissioner comments to now. We could have amended the agenda early on, but. Sure. Go ahead, Trish.
I guess I just wanted to share that sitting in on the entire Board of Health meeting, which was 2.5 hours and very, very interesting today, that Dr. James, when he spoke about COVID, he expressed that the next 4 to 6 weeks will be the most serious and most risky for our COVID pandemic. And we went 10 weeks with no disease in our county, and now we have serious uptick in cases. Our public health doctor actually begged. He said, "I am begging people to wear a mask, socially distance, stay home, and only have Thanksgiving and Christmas with your nuclear family." He is begging people not to have families come to the island that don't live here. He is asking everyone, the next 4 to 6 weeks, we are going to see such an uptick in COVID cases nationwide. And he said, tell your friends, tell your family. He has friends who are going ahead with their Thanksgiving plans, and it's just quite upsetting to him and distressing. He said, our hospitals do not have the staff to manage these cases. So I feel like as public hospital district commissioners, we need to also be getting the word out to our friends and family. And what they're saying is, do not go in another home unless you are part of that nuclear family until well into the new year, like, you know, halfway into January, because Thanksgiving and Christmas is going to be a nightmare in terms of COVID cases. So as gut-wrenching as it is, you know, we'll get through this. But there was light at the end of the tunnel, and he shared with us, he said, what the good news is, we have new treatments to treat people. We have vaccines around the corner. He said his prediction is that by April, if you want a vaccine, you'll be able to get it. So it will come in 4 phases, the vaccines. But by April, his prediction is that those of us who the first 3 phases, basically the general population, will be able to get vaccinated if you want one. So he is just, I wrote down everything he said. We cannot be complacent in these next 4 to 6 weeks. This is the crucial time of any time during this whole pandemic, the next 4 to 6 weeks. So, yeah. And his stance, and I really appreciated that, he said, I prefer to take an educational stance than being a cop. He said to educate people rather than putting out harsh directives and harsh consequences and trying to, you know, manage compliance of those, he said, is to educate people. So anyway, I just want to share that.
Thank you. And if there are no objections, we'll move audience participation to this time, just in case anyone on the line would like to say anything. And again, I believe you hit *6 to be acknowledged. Is that correct? Yes. Thank you.
We only have 2 callers left and a few staff members who are through Teams.
We're not very exciting. Okay. Well, in that case, that there's no commentary, let's move to our executive session.
And I just sent the invitation, so.
Thank you. I'm proud of us. We completed this meeting in an hour. So we'll begin our first session here.
Is that a new record?
Yeah.
I think it might be. Awesome. I
don't think it counts if there's still an executive session.
Yeah.
It's total time.
Yeah. Okay. We still have room.
See you in the other session.
Okay.
Did you set it for an hour, Annalisa?
I did. So I'll be returning to adjourn at 7:31. If that's fine. Okay.
See you soon.
Thank you. Bye.